Srimad Bhagavatam, Granth Raj Ki Jai, Canto 1, Chapter 9, Verse number 38. May He, Lord Shri Krishna, the Personality of Godhead, who awards salvation, be my ultimate destination. On the battlefield, he charged me, as if angry because of the wounds dealt by my sharp arrows. His shield was scattered, and his body was smeared with blood due to the wounds. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The dealings of Lord Krishna and Bhisma Deva on the battlefield of Kurukshetra are interesting because the activities of Lord Shri Krishna appeared to be partial to Arjuna and at enmity with Bhisma, but factually all this was especially meant to show special favor to Bhisma Deva, a great devotee of the Lord. The astounding feature of such dealings is that a devotee can please the Lord by playing the part of an enemy. The Lord, being absolute, can accept service from his pure devotee even in the garb of an enemy. The Supreme Lord cannot have any enemy, nor can a so-called enemy harm him, because he is ajita, or unconquerable. But still, he takes pleasure when his pure devotee beats him like an enemy or rebukes him from a superior position, although no one can be superior to the Lord. These are some of the transcendental reciprocatory dealings of the devotee with the Lord. And those who have no information of pure devotional service cannot penetrate into the mystery of such dealings. Bhisma Deva played the part of a valiant warrior, and he purposely pierced the body of the Lord so that to the common eyes it appeared that the Lord was wounded, but factually all this was to bewilder the non-devotees. The all-spiritual body cannot be wounded, and a devotee cannot become the enemy of the Lord. Had it been so, Bhisma Deva would not have desired to have the very same Lord as the ultimate destination of his life. Had Bhisma Deva been an enemy of the Lord, Lord Krishna could have annihilated him without even moving. There was no need to come before Bhisma Deva with blood and wounds, but he did so because the warrior devotee wants to see the transcendental beauty of the Lord decorated with wounds created by a pure devotee. This is the way of exchanging transcendental rasa, or relations, between the Lord and the servitor. By such dealings, both the Lord and the devotee become glorified in their respective positions. The Lord was so angry that Arjuna checked him when he was moving towards Bhisma Deva. But in spite of Arjuna's checking, he proceeded towards Bhisma Deva as a lover goes to a lover without caring for hindrances. Apparently, his determination was to kill Bhisma Deva, but factually, it was to please him as a great devotee of the Lord. The Lord is undoubtedly the deliverer of all conditioned souls. The impersonalist desires salvation from him, and he always awards them according to their aspiration. But here, Bhisma Deva aspires to see the Lord in his personal feature. All pure devotees aspire for this. So, this is incomprehensible for the materialists and the Mayavadis, who are also, in a sense, not qualified to see the Lord. How does one qualify themselves to see the Lord? Pramanjana charita bhakti vilochanena santaksadeva hridayesu vilokayanti yamsham sundaram achintya gunaswarupam govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. So this is Brahma Samhita, that when a person applies the salve of pure love on their eyes. And what is the salve of pure love? It's the tears one sheds when chanting the holy name of the Lord in ecstasy. So when you apply that salve on your eyes, then it opens the eyes and you're able to see the Lord in his glory. So Lord Brahma explains this. He says, I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is Shyam Sundara, Krishna himself with inconceivable, innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts with the eye of devotion tinged with the salve of love. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur writes, the Shyam Sundara form of Krishna is his inconceivable, simultaneous, personal and impersonal, self-contradictory form. And so what does that mean? Simultaneous, personal and impersonal, self-contradictory form. Well, that is one of the bewildering aspects of Krishna. He, as it says in Ishupanishad, tadijati tanijati tadure tadvantike tadantarasya sarvasya tadu sarvasya sardu sarvasya vayataha. So this is mantra number 5. The Supreme Lord walks and does not walk. He is far away, but he is very near as well. He is within everything, and yet he is outside of everything. So that is simultaneous and incomprehensible, personal and impersonal, self-contradictory. Right? How can he be very far away and very near? How can he walk and not walk? And how can he be within everything and outside of everything? Well, obviously none of us can do that. We're not like Houdini. Of course, Houdini, he was a master illusionist. He was a great magician. And he had different tricks that, you know, bewildered people. Like, for example, they would tie him up with chains and put heavy concrete blocks on his, tied to his feet, and then throw him in the water in New York. And somehow or other, he would come out without drowning. And it was like unbelievable, right? But he was able to do it. How did he do it? Well, he had some yoga practices where he could contract his body, wiggle, and get out of the chains. Of course, you and I can't do that. But he was able to do that. So he had these tricks. And that's why they call magicians illusionists. Just like a famous trick is, there's a big box and there's some pretty women, and they lead the magician and they help him get into the box, and on one side is his head that's outside of the box, the other side are his feet, which are outside of the box, and they ask him to wiggle his feet, so he wiggles his feet. And then they say, wiggle your head, and then he wiggles his head, right? Then they get this big saw, and there's one woman on one side and another woman on the other side, and they saw the box in half. Right? Then they close the curtain, and then a minute later they open the curtain, and there's the magician jumping up and down, even though they saw him. You know, by the way, I forgot. After they saw him in half, they open the box and you see that the one half is over here and the other half is over there, right? And then they close the curtain, and then when they open it after a minute or less, he's there jumping up and down, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. So that's called an illusion, right? And that's why the magicians nowadays are called illusionists. They don't even say they're magicians. They're illusions. They know how to create an illusion. So Krishna is the master illusionist, right? His body is shot with an arrow in his foot, and apparently he dies, but he hasn't died. And he goes up a mountain, and he and Balaram go up a mountain, and Jarasandha starts a fire, and burning all the trees in the mountain, the whole mountain's in flames. And then he and Balaram jump off the mountain and walk away. And after the fire is over, they look around, they don't see Krishna. They don't see his body. See? So why is all this happening? Because he has inconceivable powers. He can do things and harmonize everything, although he has inconceivable powers. And therefore, he can do self-contradictory things. We can't do it, but he can do it. True devotees see the form in their purified hearts under the influence of devotional trance. The form of Shama is not the blue color visible in the mundane world, but is the transcendental variegated color affording eternal bliss, and is not visible to the mortal eye. On a consideration of the trance of Vyasadeva, as in the sloka Bhakti Yogena Manasi, where he sees Krishna and he sees Maya walking behind him, right? It will be clear that the form of Sri Krishna is the full personality of Godhead and can only be visible in the heart of a true devotee, which is the only true seat in the state of trance under the influence of devotion. So the Lord is in the heart of the devotee. Therefore, he says, Ishvara sarvabhutanam hirde se rajina tisthati brahmayan antarudranim Brahmayan Sarvabhutani Yantra Rudrani Mayaya. So that's the 18th chapter, where Krishna says that he is Hiddese Rajuna Tisthati, in the heart of every living entity. He also says, Sarva Shichaham Hridi Sannivisto, I am in the heart of every living entity, in 15:15. And in 18:61, he says, the Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Prabhupada writes, or he himself, Krishna, as the localized supersoul, sits in the heart directing the living being. So, that's the real seat of the Lord. So the Lord is the closest person to us. He's right in our heart. But as long as we're attracted to material nature and sense gratification, we don't see him. As soon as our attention becomes fully focused on the Lord, as it says, Mani vesha mano yemam nitya yukta upasate. This is the 12th chapter. Shraddhaya parayope tas te me yukta toma mata. So in the 12th chapter, verse number 2, the Lord says, the Supreme Personality of God had said, those who fix their minds on my personal form and are always engaged in worshiping me with great and transcendental faith are considered by me to be most perfect. And Prabhupada writes, in answer to Arjuna's question, Krishna clearly says that he who concentrates upon his personal form and worships him with faith and devotion is to be considered most perfect in yoga. For one, in such Krishna consciousness, there are no material activities because everything is done for Krishna. A pure devotee is constantly engaged. Sometimes he chants, sometimes he hears or reads books about Krishna, or sometimes he cooks prasadam, or goes to the marketplace to purchase something for Krishna, or sometimes he washes the temple or the dishes. Whatever he does not let a single moment pass without devoting his activities to Krishna. Such action is full samadhi. It doesn't say, sometimes he takes a vacation and goes to Yosemite National Park, or sometimes he goes hiking in the forest, or sometimes he does this or so. No, this is all the sometimes here are related to devotional service. That's the sign. And what happens when somebody does this? Well, that's also explained here in the 12th chapter. It says, Sarva Yetu Sarvani Karmani Maya Sanyasamat Pura Ananya Naivas Yogena Mam Dhyayanta Upasate Te Samaham Samudharata Mritya Samsara Sagarat Bhavani Nachirat Partha Mai Avesita Chetasam. It's a very important verse, again in the 12th chapter, because the 12th chapter is all about devotional service, pure devotional service. But those who worship me, giving up all their activities unto me, and being devoted to me without deviation, engaged in devotional service, and always meditating upon me, having fixed their minds upon me, O son of Prita, for them I am the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. In other words, he says, Te samaham samudartam. This samudartam means deliverer. And my mrityu samsara sagarat, from the ocean, he says, the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. So, how to fix the mind on Krishna? That's the whole question. And then the example is Vyasadeva. He was in his trance of meditation on Krishna. He actually sees the Lord in his heart. And then it says, when Krishna manifested himself in Vraja, both the devotees and non-devotees saw him with this very eye, but only the devotees cherished him, eternally present in Vraja as the priceless jewel of their heart. Nowadays also, the devotees see him in Vraja in their hearts, saturated with devotion, although they do not see him with their eyes. The eye of devotion is nothing but the eye of the pure, unalloyed, spiritual self of the jiva. The form of Krishna is visible to that eye in proportion to its purification by the practice of devotion. When the devotion of the neophyte reaches the stage of bhava bhakti, the pure eye of that devotee is tinged with the salve of love by the grace of Krishna, which enables him to see Krishna face to face. The phrase in their hearts means Krishna is visible in proportion as their hearts are purified by the practice of devotion. The sum and substance of this sloka is that the form of Krishna, who is Shyam Sundara, Natavara, the best dancer, Murali Dara, the holder of the flute, and Tribhunga, triple bending, is not a mental concoction, but is transcendental and is visible with the eye of the soul of the devotee under trance. Wow, this is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So, the astounding feature of such dealings, the dealings of Bhismadeva and Krishna, is that a devotee can please the Lord by playing the part of an enemy. And that's unbelievable. Because in this world, we see everything in what do you call clearly delineated dualities. This is a friend, this is an enemy. I don't like the enemy, I like the friend. But everything is turned around in Krishna's dealings. And therefore, people don't understand him. They say that this is not possible. Because everyone is like the frog in the well. Impossible, Prabhupada said, is a word in the fool's dictionary. There's nothing impossible if the devotee is completely surrendered to Krishna. But for fools and rascals, they use the word impossible. You know, because they're so much in jail of material life. What you would call time-space module is so limited that they can't imagine the pastimes of Krishna as being factual. That's called self-induced ignorance. Self-induced ignorance. See? No one else did it to them. They did it to themselves because of the predominance and preponderance of sense gratification in their mind. Okay, so there's so many points here. These are some of the transcendental reciprocatory dealings of the devotee with the Lord. Well, why do we read Srimad Bhagavatam? To learn about these dealings, to learn about the relationships. And this is very important. What is actually self-realization? Well, there's an explanation of that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, third canto, 27th chapter, verse 28. Prabhupada writes, Sukadeva Goswami says, "My devotee actually becomes self-realized by my unlimited, causeless mercy. And thus, when freed from all doubts, he steadily progresses toward his destined abode, which is directly under the protection of my spiritual energy of unadulterated bliss." This is a very important verse. Spiritual energy of unadulterated bliss. You see, the Mayavadis never attained this unadulterated bliss. So there are five levels of Brahman realization. So the first level is anamaya, and then pranamaya, and then manamaya, and then vijnanamaya, and then anandamaya. So anandamaya is that highest realization of Brahman, of the absolute truth, where there's transcendental bliss. The Mayavadis never attain it because they don't believe that individuality is eternal. So how do you have bliss? You don't have bliss meditating in a black box half filled with water, with no sound and no one else present. Would you feel any bliss in such a situation? No. You say, you would have to have other people around you interacting with you in favorable ways to begin to feel some bliss. That's why husband and wife get married. And why do they have children? They want to increase their happiness, right? They want to see that little baby smiling, goo 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 goo, ga ga ga, like that, you know. And they say, "Oh, look, he's smiling. Oh, look, he's past poop. And oh, look, it's the first time he's walking." You know, so all that is increasing the bliss. So, in the same way, you don't get bliss if you're all alone and there's no one else around, and you need other people to feel bliss through in loving exchanges and reciprocal exchanges, etc. So, Mayavadis never get this anandamaya. They get vijnanamaya, you know, knowledge. But as we said yesterday, their knowledge is not enough to go back to Godhead. You have to have action. Knowledge has to be transformed into action. The action is devotional service in reciprocity with Krishna. So it says here, "My devotee actually becomes self-realized by my unlimited causeless mercy, and thus when freed from all doubts, he steadily progresses towards his destined abode, which is directly under the protection of my spiritual energy of unadulterated bliss." That is the ultimate perfectional goal of the living entity. After giving up the present material body, the mystic devotee goes to that transcendental abode and never comes back. Why? Because the bliss is always increasing. It's never decreasing. So therefore, why would you want to come back? Right? You want to come back and pay taxes and listen to politics and being engaged in love and hate? No way. Why would you ever want to do that after experiencing this increasing, constantly increasing transcendental bliss with infinite varieties of reciprocal relationships? So Prabhupada in his commentary explains what is self-realization. We don't really understand the full context of self-realization. So here he says, actual self-realization means becoming a pure devotee of the Lord. The existence of a devotee implies the function of devotion and the object of devotion. What is the function? It's devotional service. What is the object? The Supreme Lord and his devotees. Self-realization ultimately means to understand the personality of Godhead and the living entities, to know the individual self and the reciprocal exchanges of loving service between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entities is real self-realization. So how can Mayavadi know this when he says there's no individuality? The Brahman is impersonal. You see, it is a hopeless dead end. And that's why the Mayavad philosophy is so dangerous. And what happens? Mostly Mayavadis become atheists. Why not? Because if you believe there's no individuality, then that's an atheistic concept. This cannot be attained by the impersonalists or other transcendentalists. They cannot understand the science of devotional service. Devotional service is revealed to the pure devotee by the unlimited causeless mercy of the Lord. This is especially spoken of here by the Lord. Mat prasadena, by my special grace. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Yeah. Bhatya mam abhijananti yavanyascha smitatvata tatamam tatvato gyatva vishitetad anantaram. I can only be understood, Krishna says, by pure devotional service. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Only those who engage in devotional service with love and faith receive the necessary intelligence from the Supreme Personality of Godhead so that gradually and progressively they can advance to the abode of the Personality of Godhead. That this is what real self-realization is. Not realizing that you're not a person and you want to merge into some light. That's a bunch of nonsense. And it's very difficult to do anyway because you're going against your own nature by doing it. So we'll stop right there. All glories to Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Are there any questions, comments, or confessions? No, no confessions now. Yes. No questions? No comments? Hare Bol, and we chant Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Paramananda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.